everybody. Welcome to Financial Survival. I'm Melody's co-host, Dave Allen. And we're pleased. Melody will be joining us in a few minutes. I'm pleased to welcome back to our normal Wednesday show, Wendy Wilson of Apothecary Herbs. Hello, Wednesday. Hello, Wendy.
Hey, Dave. Happy hump day to you.
Hey, hi. Back at you. Thanks very much. Mm-hmm. Melody is dealing with some technical issues. Let's start off with today's market, then we'll get to Wendy in just a minute or two. Banner day for gold, up $20 in the New York spot market as we speak, right around $1,418. That was a percent and a half increase today. Silver up 0.75%, up 11 cents, around $15.30. Platinum up $16 to about $831. And palladium up a whopping $44 to just shy of $1,600. Let's look at the other markets. Bear with me one momento, please. The paper markets today, the S&P 500 hit an all-time high, breached 3,000 earlier today. It closed the day up 13 at 2993. The NASDAQ up 61, closing at 8202. And the Dow Jones up 76 to 26,860. That follows some mixed reactions in the foreign markets, mainly negative. Now, most of, virtually all, I should say, of the U.S. News, based on testimony from Fed Chair Jerome Powell, who seemed to be signaling again that the Fed will ease rates, lower rates, when they meet July 30th and 31st. Interestingly, in the Treasury scene, that's a little bit mixed. The 3-month, 2 and 5 years were all down. The 3-month settling at about 2.19. The 10-year still below that at 2.062. That was up very slightly, as was the 30-year at 2.572. Oil up about $2.55 to breach that $60 level again, closing right now at $60.38. Let's see, what else? The U.S. dollar, you know, predictably fell about 0.38 to 97.11. A lot of particulars in the market that Melody and I will be talking about when she joins us in the second segment. But for now, let's welcome back our good friend again from Apothecary Herbs, Wendy Wilson. Hello, Wendy.
Hey, Dave. I thought we'd talk about this new treatment with eggshells to heal broken bones.
Ooh.
Yeah, I know.
Ooh, I'm standing on eggshells.
Oh, I tell you, this was interesting research from the University of Massachusetts. They're using eggshells to heal broken bones, and I kind of tend to marvel at the extent that medical science will go to create these new surgical therapies when we already have the answers to growing healthy bones and healing bones really quickly. So science likes to, you know, recreate things, and so we're going to take a look at this approach by medicine, and then also see what less evasive and safer options we could have, ensuring that we have strong bones, or if we do break them, we can heal them really quickly. First off, global statistics, Dave, 1 in 3 women and 1 in 5 men, we're told, over the age of 50, will have osteoporosis and at some point suffer a bone fracture or a break.
Oh, gosh, that's
I know. I know. So according to medical research in the United States, we got 6 million fracture injuries each year. And so most patients, you know, if they're presented with, you know, this crushed eggshell healing therapy, supposedly advertised to heal their bones much faster, they'll probably embrace it, even though surgery presents risks, including deadly infections. So according to this research team at the University of Massachusetts, what they do is they use eggshells to enhance the growth of the new bone to strengthen the bone itself. So this particular research aimed at a solution for patients that suffer from bone diseases, cancer, your standard injury, your traumatic injury like from military, and also aging related issues. So you got to ask yourself, what does the eggshell bone therapy, how does this work? Well, according to one of the professors, Gluten Kempsey et al., he's the lead researcher on this, and he said the eggshells, what we do is we crush them, and then we insert them into this hydrogel mixture. And from there, we create a framework for grafts to grow bone in the lab. So what they do is they take bone cells from the patient and then add that to the framework mixture substance, and then they cultivate these new cells in an incubator. Then what they do is they take all this substance and they reimplant it back into the patient. So the research, this research did get published in the June 2019 journal Biomaterials of Science. And most people would speculate, hey, I guess they're using eggshells because they selected eggshells due to the calcium carbonate they contain. Well, that would be an accurate guess. And scientists say the eggshells help to create harder, stronger bone implants. And the process also uses, you know, of course, the cells from the patient, so it helps avoid the bone grafts. They hope to avoid the rejection issue by the immune system. Now, broken bones typically take about 8 weeks or longer to heal normally, under normal circumstances. And according to the professor, he says this eggshell process can be used to produce things later, other processes like cartilage, your teeth, and even tendons. So no doubt they're anticipating this medical breakthrough will be a moneymaker, okay? So you have to ask yourself, how much is this going to cost, right? You know, they're going to go out there and get a bunch of eggs and...
Yeah, indeed. Are we getting them from Amish farmers, or are we
growing them
in the labs at Cornell University?
Well, there haven't been any estimates that have been presented on the cost of this eggshell bone grafting. However, I did a show previously, if you recall, on the injected bone steroid drugs, and they weren't cheap. The cost on that treatment, did depend on the combination of the steroids they used, but it started around $6,700.
Yeah.
So I predict the eggshell bone grafts themselves are going to be more expensive because this wasn't just an injection. This was about surgery and, you know, grafting to the bone. Patients will probably accept that cost because, you know, they're going to be told, hey, this is going to heal your bone 60% faster. Do you believe that?
Well, I guess the proof is in the pudding. I prefer not to find out for myself, but if that's what the data say, then hey, that's real good news, or what?
Well, you know, this is what the researchers are saying, but it normally takes 1 to 2 weeks just for your body to reestablish the blood vessels to stabilize that area where the break was, okay? So that can't be rushed at all. And then natural healing of a broken bone takes about 8 weeks. So what they're saying is their treatment can get patients back to normal, to their activities within 3.2 weeks.
Wow.
So I would bet that claim is a little off because, you know, that means that the bone only has 1.2 weeks to repair after the blood vessels reinstate everything. Because you need blood for healing.
See? Well, sounds too good to be true.
Well, I just think they're just exaggerating a little bit there. Now, reports do go back, Dave, to ancient times that stated nutrition very important when you want to heal bones. So literature on this, the use of herbs to speed bone repair, is in print in the ancient world. So here's what the ancient people did. Now, this goes back to the Egyptians' time. The Egyptians were masters at, you know, resetting bones. They're the first people that invented plaster casts for broken bones. Did you know that?
Well, that is ringing a bell, although if I had to tell you an open-ended question, it would have been, I don't know.
Yeah, well, they did. They also invented earplugs for draining fluid from ears. They invented
really?
That, too. Yeah, they did. So let's look at some of the successful things that they did for fast bone repair without drugs and without surgery. So the ancient ancestors, what they did is they learned to immobilize the break and then reset it. They also reduced a lot of inflammation to restore that blood flow for those vessels to get reestablished. So they used herbs for that. And then they reduced the pain. They used herbs for that. And then they used antibacterial herbs, especially if you had a compound fracture where you had open skin and it was a break. They also used immune support herbs for infections and also herbs for bone strength. And we're going to get into those herbs in just a second. So, but get this, in 1932, there was an Indian scientist, Yahish Chopra. He tested bone healing herbs on a dog, and he found that the herbs do heal a break faster. Mm. He says that they also relieve pain due to the analgesic effect they have, and it prevents any delayed effect on bone repair.
Gosh. And he this says is back all, in the 30s? I'm sorry.
Yeah, he said this all did, it all did this better than the cortisone they were using back then. Okay, so he said, quote, certain herbs provide bone joining benefit. So he says it helped the bones heal faster and remodel faster. So even when you do a bone graft with surgery, you have to have a time for certain cells. It's the last stage of the bone healing process where certain cells come and remodel the bone. So here's a quote now from the U.S. National Library of Medicine. They said this in January 2017. All parts of plants possess medicinal properties, roots, stems, and most useful healing for bone fractures. These plants were used in folk medicine in the treatment of bone fractures. Early settlers were expert bone setters, and the length of treatment varied between 3 to 6 weeks. So if you didn't have the herbs, it took 8 weeks. Look at that.
Gosh.
Yeah.
Modern medicine versus old fashioned fixing up.
Yeah. Well, I mean, let's look at the chicken eggs for a second. You know, they're using the chicken eggs for the calcium components. So, what do chickens eat, Dave? Well, they eat grains, plants, and bugs. That's how you get calcium for bone. What do the cows eat? You know, everybody wants to drink milk for strong bones, but you're not going to get strong bones with cow's milk. But the cow eats what? Grass. It eats chlorophyll. Because when you look at your plants, it has two parts calcium, one part boron, one part magnesium. And that's what the body needs for calcium to be utilized, uptake, and put in the right place. So you're not going to get it from cow's milk because it doesn't have the mineral uptake. So let's look at some of the things that we can use to achieve stronger, healthier bones. Here are some of the things you got to consider. A lot of culprits can really delay your bone healing. So refined sugar will displace the phosphorus in your body and prevent proper absorption of your calcium and deplete the calcium from your bones and delay your healing. So you want to watch the refined sugar. Also, another thing you want to watch is that dairy, that cow's milk, it creates an alkaline environment. And it also prevents proper absorption of any calcium you're going to be taking. So Jeez. Therefore, you don't get adequate calcium from milk, cheese, yogurt, ice cream, that kind of thing. So if you're sitting there with a cast on thinking you're going to get better, faster eating cheese and milk, it's not going to happen. So now also your diet has to have trace minerals, your micro minerals. So and the calcium needs to be, the minerals need to be there for the calcium to be utilized properly. So boron, magnesium, vitamin D from sun, and silica, all going to be compounds that are real crucial for bone healing. Some of the things you also want to avoid, smoking, it will alter your blood flow to the bones. So those blood vessels that need to be reestablished, if you're a smoker, it's going to take longer. Also, alcohol contributes to a lot of inflammation, which can slow, again, that blood flow. Also, we mentioned the sugar. It makes your bones really weak. So let me read you this quote from the National Journal of Maxillofacial Surgery. They say, in literature, herbs are described to speed up bone formation without any side effects and relatively low cost. The knowledge of the medical value of plants and other natural substances for their use goes back to the earliest settlers, end of quote. So they already know. They already know. But, of course, you know, herbs aren't going to make them any money. See?
Indeed.
All right. Indeed. So now, based on the ancient records, when they were using herbs to speed bone repair, they said the bones can heal within 3 to 6 weeks instead of 8 to 12 weeks. Okay? So that's a plus. And without your side effects and risk of infection from surgery. Now, these herbs that you would need probably cost you way less than $300.
Mm-hmm.
And the regard to bone density, with regards to that, a lot of people will use these herbs for bone health and reverse osteoporosis in 4 months. I've seen that.
Well, let me ask you a quick question. What's happening with us baby boomers in the first place that makes us more susceptible to osteoporosis and broken bones?
Right.
You know, well, is it natural degeneration? We're not eating well? Our lifestyles are off kilter?
There's a combination of things. If you look back to the 1900s, and right around the 1900s is when they started actually testing nutrition in plants and crops and foods and making records of them. And also what the American diet was and what it consisted of and the volume. So our ancestors of the 1900s were healthier than we are today. They had more mineral-rich food sources than we do today. Our agricultural processes have really killed a lot of nutrition in our foods. So they had really strong mineral-rich bones. Okay, so they didn't have the problems that we have today with osteoporosis and arthritis and all kinds of things. Also, when you have mineral-rich foods, Dave, the body is satisfied on less volume. We eat 5 times more food than the people of 1900.
Oh, gosh, I believe that.
Okay, so plus, you know, you got to watch your prescription drugs, because they can actually pull minerals out of your system and flush them out. So you need magnesium, for instance, if you want to, you know, have calcium put in the right places, and that would be bones, muscles, connective tissue, skin, immune system. So we don't get that mineral uptake. The calcium could be absorbed, but gets displaced.
And are those?
You could get bone spurs, you could get kidney or gallstones, or it can really stick to plaque and make the arterial blockages pretty strong.
So are those microminerals, Melody, excuse me, are they naturally occurring, or is that nutrition-based as well?
Well, you want to make sure they're whole food nutrients. They're not, synthetic, so mm-hmm. Celtic sea salt will help you.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Sun-dried salt. So if you send me an email, I'll send you some, okay?
Yeah, awesome.
But yeah, if there's lots of herbs out there: horsetail, comfrey, lobelia, oat straw, great, silica, calcium, boron, magnesium in that perfect chemistry God made, and we have it in a liquid form at the website, thepowerherbs.com. So if you need any of that, let me know. And the toll-free number, if you want to catalog, is 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. So, you know, Dave, don't break any bones. You know, they say, you know, go out there and break a leg, but don't do that.
I promise not to. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, Wendy Wilson, Apothecary Herbs. That's thepowerherbs.com. You're the woman, Wendy. Always a terrific resource of real helpful, important information. We'll
Thanks,
see
Dave.
You again next week.
Okay, and take care.
Take care. Bye. And ladies and gentlemen, Melody and I will be back just after these few short messages.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. truthandradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. Yes, I'm here, ladies and gentlemen. You know me and technology. Jeez Louise, it's just like, hit it. When it hits, it always hits. You know, it doesn't hit just a little bit. It just totally freezes you up, and it just made me think, Dave. And thank you, and I do appreciate Wendy being here for the first segment of the program. Dave, thank you for, so while I was trying to get connected and everything. But you know what reminded me of, Dave? We've got gold up $20 today. I don't know if you did the market report and so forth.
I did.
I'm going to go over it once again, just on the gold and silver. But I'm thinking, you know, what if the market was crashing? And people think that they can just nonchalantly go under their computers and, you know, bring up their accounts and, you know, tell, you know, whoever, complete their sell trades and think that they're safe. And what happens when their computers freeze? And did you ever think that they would release a bug that would fry all computers so they couldn't go in there and do sell trades to keep the thing from going into free fall? Just like banks, we're not going to have, you know, the banking industry is different. A lot of people do banking online. So when you have a bank run, it's not as simple as just closing your door and putting a, you know, we'll be back in a couple of hours or for the next couple of weeks. They're going to freeze you out of your accounts on your computer because that's where everybody does their business anymore. You're not going to have lines around the, you know, the block for people waiting to get in there so they can withdraw their money. They're going to try to do it on the computer first. So that's why I truly believe if there's going to be any sort of major hacking and virus released, you know, on computers, it would be on a day when you have absolute free fall and you have, you know, where people are going in there trying to get their money out. And guess what, folks? You won't be able to. Just like today. I was all ready to do the show, had a great opening, going into gold and silver, which we're going to go into here in just a few minutes. And guess what? The computer freezes. You can't do squat. It's just really irritating. And I don't have the ability. And I assure you, most of my listeners and the rest of the people in this country don't have the ability to go in there and fix it. You have to depend on somebody to come to your place of business to fix a computer if they're going to be available.
Defragging specialists.
Well, I'll tell you, maybe that's the business to get into. You know, we'll clean your computers of viruses and so forth. And frustrating. But anyway, thank you, Dave. Thank you, Wendy. And just to, let's take a peek at gold again. We have gold up 2010 in the New York spot price aftermarket. 2010, 1418. Silver's up 11 cents at 1530. So, you know, a nice day in the precious metals market. And I just had your information, Dave. But here we go. We had gold jump, what, over 1% today? And of course, this is all related to the Federal Chair, Jerome Powell, and you know, his talk, his remarks to the House Financial Services Committee. Powell was talking about his concerns about the trade policy and a weak global economy, how that is going to continue to weigh on the U.S. economic outlooks. He too added again that the Fed stood ready to act as appropriate. Didn't I tell you that's what he was going to say? They're going to be accommodative. Or that was Greenspan's or Bernanke. That was Bernanke's. Accommodative.
Well, we'll see. I guess appropriate, like beauty, may be in the eye of the beholder. But I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And but yes, he says he's ready to act as appropriate to sustain the now record decade-long expansion. And of course, he has another day to testify before the Senate Banking Committee. So we did see a great jump in gold today, and it's very exciting. And to me, this firmly places gold at 1400.
Indeed.
And maybe we'll dip below a couple times depending on what, but I think it'll be a trading range, but I think gold is entrenched in 1400, so good. I'm excited.
Good day.
Silver will follow, but
indeed. Well, yeah, we're closing in on 100% gold silver ratio.
Yes.
Market analyst Craig Earlham said that Powell's done enough to convince traders he's not closing the door but leaving it ajar with regards to rate cuts, referencing a weaker economy, as Melody alluded to, referencing business growth and stagnating economic growth as well. Earlham added that, you know, this is as dovish as we could have potentially hoped for, and the gold market has jumped straight on that. The dollar has come off, and gold in tandem has rebounded higher. Now, you know, of course, helping bullion's rise, as I mentioned, the dollar fell today against the basket of currencies following Powell's remarks. And a review of the minutes from the Fed's June meeting released earlier this afternoon was inconsequential. I don't have anything substantive to add to that, other than, you know, this momentum now is being driven by what's now a 100% expectation for at least a 25 basis point rate cut at the end of the month.
Well, you know what, Dave? It still amazes me, because you had my BFF, Larry Kudlow. He comes out and he says, on the trade front, the U.S. and the Chinese trade officials held a constructive phone conversation.
I see a little boy crying wolf in the background, Melody.
I mean, come on, how many times can they do this? As soon as there's a little stress in the markets, they go, we've had constructive. Yesterday, there was secret meetings with Iran, you know, that no one knew about, that, you know, came out and was released and so forth. And it hasn't, I can't believe people haven't caught on to this yet. It just amazes me. And so, you know, there's a new round of talks after the world's two largest economies agreed to a truce. And this was, the G20 was 2 weeks ago. It seems like it was a year ago. But so again, stocks also traded higher today, as I mentioned earlier, and Powell's bolstered case for easier monetary policy. Trump was out earlier today, Dave, saying, what do we need to do to get a weaker dollar? What do we need to do to get a weaker dollar? So that's where they're heading, ladies and gentlemen. Government needs a weaker dollar. That has never changed.
We'll talk about that more in a minute with the president's request to his aides to find a way to weaken the dollar. But, you know, the word, my favorite word of the day today is, Melody, is cross-currents. Which Powell said in his testimony have re-emerged. Cross-currents have reemerged. He noted that many open market committee members saw that the case for a somewhat more accommodative monetary policy had indeed strengthened. Since then, he continued, based on incoming data and other developments, it appears that uncertainties around trade tensions and concerns about the strength of the global economy continue to weigh on the economic outlook. Now, Peter Buchvar, who we quote every now and then, he's a Wall Streeter, of Bleakley Advisory Group, said Powell's testimony fully endorses the July rate cut and did absolutely nothing to pull markets back from that expectations.
You know, we all know that with these zero rates, we know who it helps. You know, free money out there, they all buy back their shares, keep the stock markets growing strong and so forth. We said that, you know, you listeners could probably recite that in your sleep. And again, this sort of cracks me up. Because, you know, these senators, I don't know if there's, Senator Pat Toomey, which, you know, on a, you know, he does a great A's in my book, so he's a little closer to the D's and the F's. But anyway, Pat Toomey, he's talking about zero rates have fostered anger among workers. And really? It's just like...
Let's call him Captain O. Yeah. To me. Captain Obvious.
Yes, I know. Really. But yeah, I mean, you can't put your money in the bank. You have to be in the stock market, and either just to hold your wealth or, you know, and we all know where the stock market is heading, and people were beginning to put money in the banks. And or is it the banks that are having problems? Because, you know, they like those savings, you know, because they get to borrow, what, 9-10 times against them. You know, but they're getting free money from the government anyway. So it's just like, it's just so bizarre. You know, people want higher rates. Higher rates should be coming anyway, but it kills them. So, I mean, it's funny how these senators will just take a, you know, a sector of something and, you know, make it sound like, oh, you know, these workers are really, you know, because they don't get zero at the bank and so forth. But the picture is so much bigger, so much bigger. But I guess that's how they all get elected. They just pick their little spots in which they can argue, make a point, and hopefully it hits so many people, and they get reelected again.
Well, Toomey certainly did just that, and he won re-election to a 6-year term last year in the 2018 midterms. And he did so on the back of the late 2017 individual and corporate tax cut bill, which we know has been better for some people, particularly at the top, a lot more than it has been at the bottom. But those statistics weren't fully out during the campaign. He was able to run on it and beat a very strong opponent in a tightly contested race. But in any event,
he does support Powell, so, but that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean anything.
Yes, it does.
It does mean something?
I was agreeing with you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Hey, mortgage applications fell 2.4% for a week last week, and the volume was, of course, 34% higher compared with the same week 1 year ago due to, of course, the stronger refinance market. And mortgages rates shifted slightly lower again last week. The average contract interest rate for a 30-year fixed with conforming loan balances of $484,000 or less decreased to 4.04, so a little bit, it came down slightly. So, I mean, these really has, you know, there really isn't a lot of change from week to week until, Dave, don't you think, until we actually start seeing a decrease from a year ago?
Yeah, well, we're going to talk about housing prices in a minute. You know, we saw that mortgage apps to purchase a home increased 2% for the week, and were a little over 5% higher than the same week a year ago. And as we've said, that buyers are facing a tighter housing market, you know, as the supply of homes for sale, which had been gaining in the spring, is now dwindling again. Home price gains have been moderating, but they now appear to be heating up again as more buyers compete for fewer homes. So the mortgage rates began this week slightly higher, following the stronger than expected jobs report last Friday. However, rates are expected to move lower after Powell's testimony before both houses of Congress today and tomorrow.
Well, you know, there has been a little bit of weakening in the market. It's the competition in the housing market did finally begin to cool this year. We've seen listings multiplied and the price gains have moderated. Were they the normal bidding wars? Yeah, that's one thing. All the homes I've sold, I never had a bidding war. It always seems like when I'm buying, there's a bidding war, but
timing's everything.
But not when I'm selling. But they did become less frequent, and spring sales perked up a little bit, and the housing shortage that fueled competition and resulted in high sky price gains throughout 2017 and the first half of 2018 is on the horizon yet again. So. But supply is soon expected to drop and potentially hit a new low. And so we'll see where it goes, Dave.
Yeah, well, Realtor.com, you know, says that gains continued to slow throughout the spring and supply is now expected to flatten over the next 3 months and could hit its first decline in October, the fourth quarter of this year, just as Melody was talking about just a few minutes ago. The Realtor.com's chief economist, Danielle Hale, said it was only 18 months ago that the number of homes for sale hit its lowest level in recorded history and sparked the fiercest competition among buyers we've ever seen. Well, she says if the trend we're seeing continues, overall inventory could near record lows by early next year. So part of that issue, fewer owners are now listing their homes for sale. And there are, you know, a bunch of reasons why that is. Combination of, you know, rate lock, recently decreased consumer confidence, and, you know, older generations just choosing to, you know, age in place. Mortgage rates still pretty low. So many homeowners refinanced their loans when rates were even lower that, you know, moving would mean paying more for the same mortgage on top of paying more for a move-up home. It's a conundrum, as they say, Melody.
Well, I think President Trump is having his own conundrum as he's trying to, as we mentioned a little bit ago, that he's looking to have his aides find a way to weaken the U.S. dollar. Now, again, this could be all talk. It could have some impact, but maybe not enough impact on the dollar for it to get out of control yet, because once something begins to start declining, sometimes you lose control of that. And I think eventually, as much control as they might have now, I think that's what's going to happen. I think they're testing and they're targeting, and I think one of these times they're going to lose control of it. And they've always been able to bring it back with their Fed speak, with their president speak, or whoever, you know, the Treasury speak, Mnuchin speak, Kudlow speak, whatever. But one of these times they won't be able to.
Well, you're talking tonight with James Corbett, the pre-recorded session that'll air Friday about this very topic, based in large part on an interview that our friend Greg Hunter had with two popular, well-known investors just last week. And they have some very, I'll call it, you know, profound predictions that should spell nothing but fear for paper market investors. And it will certainly be interesting to hear James, Melody, you know, talk about this with you on this Friday's program.
Well, I am looking forward to it. And anything else you'd like to add to this about the president's manipulation currency game?
No, not really. The music says it's time to cut that off in any event.
Yes, so there. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Dave Allen.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today
today, complete with two Black Berkey Elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. A great day in gold today, up $20. Again, it's digging a trench here at this $1,400 level, which we need, and happy to see. But, you know, Dave, I mean, when people talk about, we're going to talk about, you know, the big headlines today, debt piles up, deficits 25% higher since this administration was elected. You got, they're spending one department, probably the HHS, spending $100 billion per month. Per month. I mean, come on. It's truly amazing. And, you know, this headline will be gone tomorrow, probably. It's up there because Powell is in D.C., and as soon as he leaves and does his little speech on how accommodative we're going to be, that'll leave the headlines, at least until the debt ceiling is, you know, ready to come due sometime in September. So, you know, it's just all of the same. But the bottom line, what is the same, too, is how this all ends. And what it means to you. Yeah, you can just sit there and just hope that the S&P again closes up above 3,000 and you get to hold on to all your money that you think you have. But all it isn't money, ladies and gentlemen, it's just promises to pay. It's all it is. So let's go ahead and get back to the White House is to send the UMSCA to Congress after Labor Day. Well, it's been almost a year that the White House is planning to send its replacement for NAFTA after September 1st, hopefully to set up a vote by the end of the year. I didn't realize it took this long to ratify something. The White House could submit the bill to Congress soon, as this week, just to start the approval process. House Democrats are meeting in working groups to hammer out issues with the existing unratified agreement. But the White House and the Office of the U.S. Trade Rep disagreed over how aggressive a strategy to pursue in getting a deal through Congress. Active Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney and Vice President Mike Pence Chief of Staff Mark Short want to pressure majority House Democrats with a deadline so they cannot run out the clock on ratifying the deal.
On the other hand, Melody, U.S. Trade Rep Robert Lighthizer has suggested giving Democrats more time to consider the agreement. Despite those differences, the White House and the Trade Rep's office agree that the administration needs a more concerted effort to sell the deal to members of Congress who are unsure about supporting it. The administration could have some breathing room in getting the trade deal approved. Congress is expected to be in session now through September to resolve budget issues before the end of the fiscal year on September 30th. Before this, many lawmakers were expecting to leave Washington, to hit the campaign trail as early as Labor Day.
Well, now we're going to go ahead and go into our weekly segment, Brevity is Golden. And, you know, it is fun to have a little bit of, I don't know.
Levity.
Levity. We talk about it on the other programs with Butch. We need it once in a while. And I did see this video, and Dave, I did think it was silly. but I like the way, and what I started thinking about is the amount of money for the research. But it was cute, I will say that. And it seems that you brought this to the program for this levity, for brevity. And how about something of a dancing snowball?
It's true, Melody. Listeners, a dancing snowball. This snowball can headbang, vogue, and body roll as well, and as better, if not better, than any rhythmically inclined human, particularly someone like me. Never mind that this snowball is covered in feathers. Yes, this sulfur-crested cockatoo broke big on YouTube over 10 years ago now for his toe-tapping, head-bobbing performance to the Backstreet Boys song Everybody. But after spending a decade studying his wide repertoire of bangs, hops, and lifts, researchers now suggest that parrots like Snowball and humans share a tendency to dance when the music moves them. Ever the entertainer, Snowball performed 14 unique dances when prompted by music, according to findings that were published Monday in Current Biology. It's evidence that some birds are capable of sophisticated cognitive control and a level of creativity previously unseen in other species. Now, the study of Snowball follows a 2009 paper that found the head-bobbing snowball possessed an advanced musical beat perception compared to other animals that synchronize rhythms for mating purposes, particularly frogs or crickets. Something that I hope she won't mind me speaking out of church, that Melody knows something about, living in proximity to one of those species.
Frogs.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, my gosh. It was back in probably May. Probably in May. I have a little pond in the back, and the bullfrogs. Oh, my gosh. It sounded like there was hundreds, literally hundreds, and now there's only one. Go figure. I don't know what happened to the other hundreds, but anyway, yes. Go ahead.
Mate and move on with their lives.
Dave heard me whine about it because it was very difficult to sleep at night. Go ahead.
Lord. Well, you know, researchers weren't able to row, you know, then whether Snowball had imitated the movements of his human owners or if he could adjust his head bops to different tempos. Well, it turns out that toe tapping and head banging are characteristic of parrot mating rituals. So it was difficult to draw any conclusions about the cognitive implications. But shortly after the study concluded, Snowball's owner, who's Irina Schultz, contacted a psychology professor at Tufts University named Anirudh Patel after a bird had begun exploring new moves that she says he devised himself in response to music. You know, to test whether Snowball could incorporate, you know, a variety of body parts when music played, a trait only humans had ever exhibited, the team filmed him as he boogied to two seminal 1980 standards with two different tempos, Another One Bites the Dust and Girls Just Want to Have Fun. You know, researchers mapped the more than 20 minutes of movement frame by frame, and that's when they noted 14 distinct dances and two combinations thereof, all performed to the beat of either song. So, you know, researchers aren't sure how Snowball learned to master all of this, but they suggest birds in the avian order share five traits with humans that facilitate their tendency to dance. That includes, you know, the ability to imitate movement and a tendency to form long-term social bonds. Well, Snowbird's the first bird to be studied in this way, so it's difficult to know whether these findings extend to other parrots and species, but it's a start to unlocking more about the evolution of musicality in humans. Perhaps Melody, Dr. Patel, will want to get me in a room with Snowball so he can teach me a few of his moves. And that is this week's levity, or brevity is golden.
Well, you know what, Dave? You wonder if the bird did it on his own or if he actually maybe is imitating his owners, because owners dance.
Yeah, they
birds
they,
dance, and yeah. You can't teach animals tricks. So.
Yeah, it, you know, it's probably an imperfect study, but you know, they had indicated that during the course of the study that the owner was in another room, out of sight from Snowball, and that
right. But know, I'm talking about up leading to the video that was. I didn't realize it was 10 years ago, but for 3 years prior to that. If the music was on and the owner was dancing, the bird would pick up the movement he would change with each song, and he would still do it even though the owner was out of the room, because this is just, he was trained, you know, he was just Pavlov's dogs, you know, kind of thing.
Ladies and gentlemen, and Snowball, if you're listening, there's a skeptic among us.
And it didn't cost
probably rightly so.
Hey, we talked a little bit about this yesterday, not in depth though, about the State Department is approving arms to Taiwan, and it's estimated to be about $2.2 billion, and the deal is for 108 Abrams tanks, 250 Stinger missiles, and related equipment. The Chinese Foreign Ministry has called on the U.S. to immediately cancel this proposed sale. Spokesperson Zhang Shuang said that the action grossly interferes in China's internal affairs and undermines China's sovereignty and security interests. He has also accused the U.S. of violating the One China policy, under which the United States recognizes and has only formal ties with China and not Taiwan. China regards Taiwan. That's interesting. I did not know that. China regards Taiwan as part of its territory, which should be reunited with the mainland by force if necessary.
Oh, my. Well, you know, not surprisingly, the Pentagon said earlier that the sale of these weapons would not alter the basic military balance in the region. That Defense Security Cooperation Agency has notified Congress of this impending arms sales. Congress, in turn, has 30 days to raise objections, but reportedly is not expected to do so. You know, Taiwan's presidential office expressed sincere gratitude to the U.S., which is the main arms supplier to Taiwan. The spokesperson for their president said the island would continue to deepen security ties with the U.S. So we'll stay on top of this development and report back with any updated actions and reactions.
And yesterday we also talked about how these tech companies are invading our privacy, and that, you know, these tech companies and government anymore are just one of the same. And of course you have Amazon and Microsoft, they're battling it out over a $10 billion opportunity to build the U.S. military its first war cloud computing system. Amazon's early hopes of a shock and awe victory could be slipping away. Now, the system is called the Joint Enterprise Defense Infrastructure Plan, or JEDI, and would store and process vast amounts of classified data, allowing the Pentagon to use artificial intelligence to speed up its war planning and fighting capabilities. The Defense Department hopes to award the winner-take-all contract as soon as August. Oracle and IBM were eliminated, and but that's only if the project isn't derailed first. It faces legal challenge by Oracle and growing congressional concerns about alleged Pentagon favoritism towards Amazon. Really? This is a shock to anybody?
It's pretty amazing. Well, you know, a billion here, a billion there. I guess, you know, these big tech companies are looking at this as real money. I mean, Oracle, who was a semi-finalist, Oracle is the one who's pressing this issue in court. They, of course, aren't among the two finalists. But you know, the mere fact that you know, it's a system evoking Star Wars. You know, JEDI has attracted more attention than, you know, most government cloud deals. The Pentagon, in addition to what Melody said JEDI's computing abilities could help the U.S. analyze data collected from surveillance aircraft, predict when equipment needs maintenance, and speed up communications if fiber and satellite connections go down. So, you know, this conflict of interest issue aside, you know, this will be interesting to see how this software system develops, and what other countries, how soon, you know, the Chinas and Russias and Indias of the world try and copy it.
It's, you know, it's fascinating. It's frightening at the same time, because it's, you know, I don't know. It's, I don't know if we're ahead, behind. I mean, you've heard the talk of the type of what Russia has. So, interesting. And anyway, it could go in all different kind types of or different directions. But
indeed.
Well, let's get back to a little bit of, we have about 2 minutes. The economic success is concentrated in a few metro areas. This is something we talk about all the time, about how you have these American cities, or some are undergoing a renaissance and economic success. And, you know, it's really been concentrated in a few standout metropolitan areas, while the rest struggle. But all you hear about is how great everything is. The top 25 metro areas out of a total of 384 accounted for more than half of the United States' $19.5 trillion GDP in 2017. Technology is being injected into urban life at every street corner. Sensors, cameras, wireless antennas, data-guzzling apps galore that could create new hurdles to equitable access to basic services. And this winner-take-all dynamic has led to inequalities and rising tensions that are helping to drive politics just right off the rails. So the newest and best-paying jobs are clustered. And, of course, you know these cities. I'll let you choose them, any of them that you choose. Frisco, New York, Seattle. We're out of time, but that it is true. It brings it into perspective when you hear people talk, and when we talk about how this isn't a true trickle-down effect, and that it's only helping some and not all. This just supports all that, and where the people are really getting the most benefits. Thank you, Dave.
You're welcome, and thank you, Wendy. She reminded me to, which I'll remind listeners, don't forget about all that calcium, ladies and gentlemen, how important it is for especially us baby boomers.
All right. 800-375-4188. Give us a call at Discount Gold and Silver Trading. We'll be back tomorrow. Until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.